Looking lately at the topic of who is Jesus Christ and who he is not. This is the final part in that teaching series, I guess, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We've looked at a lot of verses over the last few weeks related to who Jesus Christ is and who he is not, and seen various aspects, certainly not all the aspects that we could look at, but some of them related to the world's need for a Savior. We started off by looking at that and how the need for Jesus Christ didn't actually take place until after Adam and Eve had made the drastic mistake of disobeying God. Well, Eve was deceived and Adam knowingly disobeyed him, leading to the fall of man. And that's the first time that a Messiah was necessary. So if they hadn't done that, he wouldn't have been necessary. But because of that, Jesus Christ was necessary as the coming Messiah. We looked at that. Looked at the promised seed and how the prophecies of Jesus Christ throughout the Old Testament related to him being a priest, a prophet, a man, a servant, the Son of God, a king, and other aspects of his ministry. And a man, never God. He was not God. He is not God. He was a man. And we also looked at him as the Redeemer, where we saw that he redeemed not only the fall of Adam, the fall of man, but also redeemed the fall of Lucifer as God's second in command. And he himself now is the bright and morning star and God's second in command. And then we started looking at various verses on the Trinity and some difficult verses that seemed to be difficult when we looked at them, but when we read them carefully, we see that they're not so difficult. And then we looked at what I called obvious verses that talk about who Jesus Christ is. And we spent a couple of fellowships doing that. So we'll close this time, this week, on the returning Lord and how he works with God in the book of Revelation. It gives us a bit more indication on who Jesus Christ is and how he works with his Father. But before we do that, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, to set the time frame of the book of Revelation, we read a record here in 2 Corinthians 12 of the Apostle Paul in verse 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. This is Paul the Apostle talking about himself. And here the words say, caught up to the third heaven, that literally reads, caught away unto the time of the third heaven. He wasn't caught upwards, he was caught sideways in time, later in time. He was shown what was going to happen later in time during the events of the book of Revelation. Verse 3, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knows, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So Paul the Apostle was shown what was going to happen afterwards, after the return of Jesus Christ, as a way of helping him to live his life and to be excited about the coming hope, whatever he needed to help him. And that's what he was shown. Look at Revelation. Now we're going to go to the book of Revelation. But he was told, Paul the Apostle was told, not to write it down. So Paul did not write down that which he had been shown. But some of the same information, and probably more, was also shown to John. And that's what the book of Revelation says. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So this time here, it was revealed to John, and John was told to write it down. And that's how we got the book of Revelation. The revelation was given to John, and he wrote it down. And this is talking about the times after the return of Jesus Christ for his people. In verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. It says that he was the first begotten of the dead. God is not the first begotten. God is God. Jesus Christ is the first begotten, the first one to be made alive from the dead, who dies no more and is still alive. And the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. See, it becomes very clear in the book of Revelation that Jesus Christ is God's Son, and he's carrying out instructions given to him by his Father God. And then he says it time and time, we'll see it. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever, amen. And down to verse 13. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Again, God is never called the Son of Man. He can't be. He's not from among the flock. Jesus Christ was. He was the Son of Man. Clothed with a garment down to the foot and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, and he laid his right hand upon me, and saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. He was dead. God was never dead. Jesus was dead. Jesus Christ was dead. We saw that before. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So you see, again, the very clear distinction between God, who was never dead, Jesus, who was the first begotten, he was God's messenger, God, the agent of God's plan, and he himself had died. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 26, it says, And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. So he receives it from his Father, and then he carries out that which God asked him to do. Chapter 3. Just going to read a bunch of verses in Revelation. Chapter 3, verse 5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. You know, we looked at how Jesus Christ's ministry today is one of being an advocate. He's an intercessor. He's a mediator between God and man. He has that very important ministry. Well, later in the later times, he's still carrying on a ministry. Here it says he's going to confess him before his Father. So he's again carrying out his responsibilities as second in command to God. You would think if he was God that by this point it would be, okay, now we're together. Well, no, he still is carrying out his ministry even after Jesus Christ has come back for us. All right. Let's keep reading. Where are we? Verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. How he calls God his God. He is his God. If he was God, he'd be saying, I am me, I am my own God. No, he says, I am the Lord Jesus Christ, a man, and that is my God. He calls him that three times in that verse. Verse 13, He that hath an ear, let him hear what the church, Spirit saith unto the churches, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Jesus Christ is called the beginning of God's creation. Remember that? He's the one who started that second, he was the second Adam. From that time on, there was this new race, if you will, of people who could be born again of God's Spirit. That's what he's referred to here. In Revelation chapter 5. Sorry, let's read verse 20. We're still here. Verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. Very clear, isn't that the order of authority? My Father has a throne, I was given the responsibility, and my Father has a responsibility. So it's very, very clear how the order of authority works. God is God, Jesus Christ is the Son of God, second in command. He is not God, never has been, never will be, never wanted to be. Only man has tried to make him in that position. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 1, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. So who's sitting on the throne? God is on the throne. Remember that song, God is still on the throne? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book, and to loose the seven seals thereof. He is called the root of David. God is not the root of David. Wouldn't that be absolute nonsense? Here, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus Christ, is called the root of David. And it would be kind of silly if God had the book, no one could open it, but he himself could open it. That's not what he was talking about. Of course he could open it. But Jesus Christ was found worthy to open that. Verse 6, I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. See, very different. You have God, and you have the Lamb of God, who is Jesus Christ. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Interesting. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God. Talking about Jesus Christ. And God, Jesus Christ was slain, and he's the one who redeemed us to God. Very clear, isn't it? Out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power. God was not slain. The Lamb was, and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. At every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. It's very clear how Jesus Christ has a ministry. God is directing what's going on here, and Jesus Christ is carrying it forth as the second in command. He is not God. In Revelation chapter 11, again, this is talking to a time and people after the return of Jesus Christ, and a lot of these verses are not relating directly to those who are born again of God's Spirit that will be with the Lord Jesus Christ after he returns. But it's interesting, even after that time, there's a very clear distinction on who Jesus Christ is and who God is. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. Okay, and the seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Very clear, there's God, and he has a Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshipped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. So there you have Jesus Christ, and you have You have God and you have his Christ, which is Jesus Christ. Look at Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. Very separate. It's time and time, and there's so many verses. It talks about God, and it talks about his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Verse 17. And the dragon was wroth and with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. See, very, very, very different, distinct. In chapter 14, again, you can read the whole book of Revelation. When I first, years and years ago, when I read the book of Revelation, I said, wow, is it ever clear in the book of Revelation, clearly how God works with Jesus Christ, how Jesus Christ carries things out. So if you want to get more in, just read the whole book, and you'll see it even clearer. We're just reading a couple of verses in each chapter. Revelation 14, verse 1. And I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, and with on him 144,000, having his Father's name written in their foreheads. So you have the Lamb, which is Jesus Christ, and you have his Father's name written in their foreheads. Very clear. It doesn't say Jesus Christ is God, and he's got God written in their foreheads. It says there's Jesus Christ, and then these guys have the Father's name written. It's very clear. Verse 14, and I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, again called Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. Another angel came out of the temple, and crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, thrust in thy sickle, and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap. For the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. This is interesting. So he said in verse 14, he looked and he saw a white cloud. Upon the cloud one sat like unto Son of Man. You have Jesus Christ up there. So an angel comes to him and says, it's time for you to reap. So who gave the angel that message? Was it Christ himself sitting there saying, I'm going to send myself an angel and tell myself to do this? It's such nonsense. Here, Jesus Christ is on the cloud. An angel comes to him. It's time to reap. He said, okay, I'm going to do. Who sent the message? God. God sent the message to the Son of Man. And then he said, okay, he's going to reap. In Revelation 20, unless God has exalted the angels to be above him, which he has not. Revelation chapter 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Again, talking about God and talking about Jesus Christ, who is going to reign. And we're going to reign with him. That's what it says, right? Which is really interesting. What does that mean? I don't know. We'll find out. Revelation 21. We're doing our best to read everything in the Bible that talks about it to see if we can find the place where Jesus Christ finally says, I am God. And I'm unfortunately, but doesn't say it. Right? Fortunately and thankfully. That's only the councils of men and ecumenical councils and orders of churches and denominations that can be so arrogant enough to exalt Jesus Christ to a position that he never wanted, never even looked to receive, even though the adversary tried to get it by being the, you know, exalt himself above God. That didn't work so well, right? Jesus Christ never wanted. Only man puts him in a position that he never wanted. In Revelation 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. You see, you have both God and you have the Lamb. They're both still there, even in the second last chapter of the Bible. Finally, we'll close in Revelation 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David. God is not the offspring of any man. Jesus Christ was. That's why he's a man. He calls himself the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, like saying things like, I am God, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. It's not a good thing to change the word of God. It's not a good thing to change the word of God for anybody's purposes. God authored it. We ought to leave it alone the way God wanted it understood. If any man changes it, not a good thing. Verse 19, if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, like saying things like people can't operate the manifestations anymore, that miracles are past, and say stuff like that, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from all the things which are written in this book. You see, God is very clear. He does not want his word changed. He doesn't want it added to. He doesn't want it taken away from. He wants his word to stand. He does everything he can to make sure his word stands. That's what we try to do. And verse 20, he which testified these things saith, surely I come. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. God watches over his word. So let's make sure we do our utmost to get it right. Even though, you know, so many in the world and on the point of who Jesus Christ is have gotten it wrong, including many mainstream denominations, we have to stick to what the Word of God says, and we should take this part where it talks about adding or removing from it very, very seriously. You know, so if anybody ever asks you or says something to you about the Word of God, say, well, it says this, you got to ask them, show me. Where does it say this? Show me exactly why you're saying what you're saying, you know, and then we have the option to look at it and see if the Word of God does actually say that. But I think it's very, very clear in the Word who Jesus Christ is and what his mission is, what the plan that God, you know, sometimes we call God, God is the author of the plan of salvation, and sometimes we'll call Jesus Christ the agent of that plan. He carried out that which God had told him to do. God did not carry out himself. If God could have done that, he would have done that right in the Garden of Eden. As soon as Adam and Eve had messed it up, he would have said, okay, I can deal with this, and he would have done it. But he didn't do that. He waited until the fullness of times when a Messiah could be born, a sinless man could be born and become the Lamb of God, become our Passover, die for the sins of all mankind and redeem us back to God. It had to be a man, just the same way a man had messed it up in the first place by under God's legal system. It had to be a man that put it back together again. That man was the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. And let's let him keep him where God put him, not where man puts him. Let's put him exactly where God puts him. He is God's second in command. He is our Lord and Savior, but he's not God. Amen.